From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Congress is out this week for the Memorial Day recess, and quite frankly, not much is going on here in Washington, at least not as much as usual. So I wanted to take the opportunity to share some of last week's Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing. We had about 500 pastors, their wives, and leaders from across the country gather for the 15th annual Watchman briefing, and I have to say it was phenomenal. In addition to some of the nation's leading Christian leaders and speakers, we also heard from Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback. Vice President Mike Pence stopped by. Congressman Mark Meadows and Congressman Mike Johnson, just to name a few. And I only have time for some of the highlights, but you can watch the entire briefing by going to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the Watchman Pastors button. WatchmanPastors.org is actually the site, but you can go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Now, this year's theme was While It Is Day. It comes from John 9:4, which reads, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Again, you can find out more about the Watchman on the Wall Pastors Outreach and this year's briefing by going to TonyPerkins.com. And as always, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. But with that theme in focus, we started the briefing with a message from international Bible teacher and author Kay Arthur, CEO of Precept Ministries International. Here's how Kay kicked off this year's Watchman briefing.
Any old bush will do to set on fire with the fire of God. That's what I said, and that's what I have seen. I am 84 years old, and I have never seen our nation in such a state of darkness. And I believe, and I've cried to God, and I believe that God has given us a window of opportunity. And I believe, and forgive me and take it in the right way because I'm part of the church, but I believe America is in the condition that it's in because the church has not done and been what God has ordained for us to do. I want to be very honest with you. I have been in torment most of the night about this message. I told Tony, I don't take speaking engagements unless I get an hour or an hour and a half. And that's just for the first session. Because I'm called to teach the Word of God. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the church, I believe, from all my years of experience, the church in general is biblically illiterate. We do not know. We think the New Testament's for Christians, the Old Testament's for Jews, and we do not know what the Old Testament says. And that's where you meet God. That's where you get his attributes. That's where you understand that he is the one that created all these things. He spoke and brought it into existence. And when he spoke and brought it into existence, he showed us the power of his word. And we are to live by it. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God has given us in the knowledge of him everything that pertains to life and godliness. And yet we are reading the works of men. We are reading devotionals instead of the word of God. We're getting our theology second hand, third hand, fourth hand. We're preaching many times sermons that we have found in other people's writings. And the thing that grieves me the most, and forgive me, but the thing that grieves me the most is that many men that I meet, because their wives have been touched by the Bible studies, and this is not a woman's Bible study ministry at all, but they tell me that they learn from their wives. And it's the men that are to be our leaders. It's the men to be the men of the Word of God. I'm 84, I told you. 55 years ago, I got saved. My husband, I was married, I was divorced. I was immoral. I shook my fist in the face of God and I said, to hell with you, God, I'll see you around town. I'm going to find someone to love me. I had a husband that was bipolar and we didn't know it. I went to two ministers for counseling. Neither one of them opened the Word of God. Neither one of them, and it was here in this city. I mean, it was in Arlington, Virginia. Neither one of them opened the Word of God. Neither one of them explained to me what God had to say. They told me to leave my husband. One came on to me. And that started my path of immorality. And I sunk into a pit that I dug with my own hands. And then God, in his grace and mercy, brought me to the end of myself. And I ran up. I was working at Johns Hopkins then on a research team. I'm a nurse. And I fell down on my knees and I said, God, I don't care what you do to me. I don't care if I never see another man as long as I live. I don't care if you paralyze me from the neck down. I don't care what you do to my two boys. If you'll just give me peace. And there on my knees, he gave me the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet shall you be as white as snow. And I opened the Word, and I started reading, and it was a Phillips translation, and I came across this verse in Romans 9. And he called her beloved when there was nothing lovely about her. He sent his word, as Psalm 107 says, and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. I would like you to take the piece of paper that I put together and that I have labored for hours on, trying to get it condensed and trying to do what I have been asked to do. But watchman on the wall, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. I was afraid that you wouldn't have a Bible with you because it's hard to carry it at a conference. I want us to mark the text so you'll find a pen right there in the center if you don't have it. And I want you to see that when Jesus said this, and it's in John 9:4, this was the verse, we must work the works of him who sent me. I put a triangle over him. I normally color God in yellow in my Bible if it's something significant that I want to remember. And who sent me, and if you would just put a cross over there, over Jesus, because Jesus is speaking, as long as it is day. And then he says this, night is coming when no man can work. Night is coming when no man can work. And I want you to, I so agree with Tony. We have a small window of time. And what you and I do with that small window of time and the Word of God is going to determine, I believe, the fate of the United States of America. But eventually we know from reading the Word of God that night is coming. As I prayed about this message, as I cried to God and sought God about it, God laid Jeremiah on my heart. Now, that's quite a feat to do in 20 minutes, and now I only have 8. or 12, I'm sorry. And so, as I sought him, he laid Jeremiah very definitely on my heart. And I want us to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came. Do you see how I marked the word of the Lord there? All right. If you would go through, when you go home, if you would just take this and mark every reference to the word of the Lord and find out what the word of the Lord was and the situation in which it was given. It came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon. It was in the 13th year of his reign. In the 18th year of his reign, do you know what Josiah did? He was trying to renovate Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem and everything. And they came back to him and they said, we have found the word of God lost in the house of God. Jeremiah is building on a time when they have been without the word of God because it got lost in the house of God. And I believe that this is exactly what's happened in the United States of America. And we've got to find it. We've got to preach it. We've got to proclaim it. And then it says in verse 17, now, and then he talks about this is a prophecy that goes, look at verse 3, it came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until, and I'm marking time phrases with a circle and wiggling underneath it, the exile of Jerusalem in the fifth month. This did not have to happen. Israel did not have to be destroyed. Jerusalem did not have to be destroyed because God gave Zedekiah the opportunity to repent and to go out and to surrender, and Jerusalem would not have been destroyed. But he did not believe God. He did not listen to God. And this is the message of Jeremiah. Watch what he says. Gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all I command you. You and I are not to fear the face of man. We are to hold forth the word of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We are not to compromise. We are not to turn to the right, and we are not to turn to the left, but we are to observe to do according to all that God has commanded us. And if we're preaching anything else but the word of God, this is why we're in the mess that we're in, because his word is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God uses it. Cleanse me with the washing of the water of your word. And he says, Father, I just pray now. I normally pray, Father, speak. Speak, bring out what you want. And then, Father, take the rest of this and use it as a sword to penetrate our hearts and our churches and make this whole conference, after we listen to everything, make it what is needed to turn America now around and to seize the day, because the night is coming. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And I thank you that it's not by might. And I thank you that it's not by power. I thank you that it's by your Spirit. Oh, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He says, be appalled, O heavens, at this. Shudder, be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, and I would put a one beside that, the fountain of living waters. We have turned from God, and we are trying to do the work of God apart from the power of God and apart from the word of God. He says, they have hewn out cisterns. This is number two. They have hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. In other words, they have turned to unnatural sources instead of the source of life, which is the word of God. And they have turned to these things to do the work of God.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad that you are listening today. We're taking just a timeout from the normal news of the day, since Congress is out this week. And I'm sharing with you some of the highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing that we had here in Washington, D.C. Phenomenal event. Absolutely phenomenal. We're listening to Kay Arthur. We're going to continue with that when we return from the break. Don't go away.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. If you're just joining us, we're listening to highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing. Had over 500 pastors, their wives, and leaders from across the country gather for the 15th annual Watchman briefing. Just an absolutely great event. And Kay Arthur with Precepts Ministries was the lead-off speaker and teacher. She's a great Bible teacher, and her message coming from the theme of this year's conference from John 9:4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And here's a continuation of what Kay had to say.
In Jeremiah chapter 3, the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah, have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. In Ezekiel chapter 16, I wrote a book, and it's based on this, and it's a whole history of Israel in novel form. It's a true story of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 16, he says, you're my wife. He says, I found you. You were squirming in your blood. You grew up. Your breasts were formed. It was time for love. And I came by and I spread my skirt over you. And you became mine. And then he talks about how her fame spread and how her beauty was abroad and everything. And she was a woman of renown, Israel was. And then he says, and then you played the harlot. He says, you, and this is, I'm quoting scripture, you spread your legs to every passerby. And we have played the harlot. We have not been faithful to God. We have not lived by his every word. We have not esteemed him as his word is more precious than our necessary food. He says, I thought after she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. Do you hear a key repeated word here? It's return. And so if you would go back and mark return the way I marked it in verse 12, you would see return to me. She did not return. Her sister saw it, and she did not return. He says, return, O faithless Israel. Verse 12 declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your what? Iniquity. To come to God, we must come to him with clean hands and a pure heart. We must humble ourselves before God, and we must cry out to him. And he says, I am gracious. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not what? Obeyed my voice. And I put a big O for obeyed and then a slash through it. You have not obeyed my voice. Return, O faithless sons, and I will heal your faithfulness. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. The word return is shuv, and it means to turn back. And it's the second most frequently used verb in the Old Testament. Of the Old Testament, it's the second most frequently verb. It's used 1,062 times. Jeremiah uses it 111 times, more than any Old Testament book. Do you know what it means? It means to repent. It means to change your mind. It means to turn from evil and to good. And if we're going to be used of God, if we're going to seize the day, precious ones, we must repent. We must return to God. When I return to God, in God, I have everything that I need, everything that pertains to life and godliness. In Jeremiah 49, he cries out, Jeremiah, my soul, I'm in anguish. Oh, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent because you have heard, oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. In other words, I know that God's judgment is coming. And this is why he's saying the night is coming when no man can work. We, Jesus, when he says it in John 9:4, he's saying we must work the works. Not just Jesus, because Jesus is leaving, but he gives us the Holy Spirit. And you and I can move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are partakers with him. But we must do the works of him who sent me. And it's not by might, and it's not by power. It's by what? Tell me, what is it? It's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I get up in the morning, early in the morning, and I cry out to God, God, fill me with your Spirit. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who lived and died for me. He says, I can't not be silent. You've heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. For my people, underline it, my people are what? Foolish. Listen, they know me not. And if you would, you've seen the surveys. You know the state of the church. You know the state of those who profess to know Christ. And he says, we don't know him. Daniel 11:32b, in a critical point in history, Daniel 11:32b says, but the people who know their God will stand firm. And not just stand firm and take it, but they will be able to take action. We've got to know God. We've got to understand, by the way, that God is sovereign. When my first husband committed suicide, I had come to know the Lord. And when I fell on my knees, I was rescued by the knowledge of what I said. I mean, the knowledge of who God is, despite the fact that what I said to him is when he would tell me he was going to commit suicide, it was the philosophy of the day. I'd say, well, do a good job so I get your money. How awful. How awful. God, we've got to know God. We've got to know his word. And we've got to live by it. He says, they know me not. They are stupid children and have no understanding. It's his people he's talking about. They are shrewd to do evil, but to do good, they do not know. Isaiah says, woe be to those who call evil good and good evil. This is what's happened in our day. Look at the gender issue. I mean, who ever thought that we would come to the issue of the fact that when we delivered babies, I looked at their genitals. It was a girl or it was a boy. Now they're saying there is no gender. And we have, how could this happen in America if the church is strong in America? Where was the church?
I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch, taking a little time out from the normal business of Washington with Congress out this week. And I wanted to share with you the highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing. You've been listening to Kay Arthur, CEO of Precept Ministries International. And we're going to continue and hear the rest of what Kay had to share with the pastors when we return. Don't go away.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you are on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, a special edition today with Congress out for the Memorial Day week. We're taking the opportunity to share with you some of the highlights of last week's 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing. And I want you to hear the rest of what Kay Arthur had to say. Then we're going to hear from Freedom Caucus Chairman Mark Meadows. So don't go away. Listen to this and stick around.
Jeremiah says, an appalling thing and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do in the end of it? What will we do in the end of it? And so then he cries out in Jeremiah 6, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may what? Here, do you see the ear there? All right. Behold, their ears are what? Closed, and they cannot listen. Listen, if people, we've got to feed the flock. We've got to figure out how to teach the men to study the Word of God, how to teach the children, how to teach everyone. We've got to teach them how to study the Word of God, because when they know the Word of God, then they are able to stand firm, as we saw. Then they are able to take action. Then they're able to measure everything that comes into their lives. But we've got to, if they're not going to listen, let them walk away. Let them walk away. Work with the ones. Jesus made it very clear. If any man's going to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Let him what? Take up his cross. Let him what? Follow me. He says, he that loves father, mother, sister, brother, wife, life, etc., more than me is not what? Worthy of me. Work with those that are serious. And then God will bring them to you. And this is what he's saying. Thus says the Lord, verse 16. It says, I'm sorry, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and what? Walk in it. He says, but they said, we will not walk in it. And he says, I have set watchmen over you. We are watchmen. He says, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, look it up here. We will not listen. We're not going to listen. Hear, O earth, Behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my what? They have not listened to my words. As for my law, they have rejected it also. He goes on to say, how can we say we're wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. You and I are not going to know when we read a commentary or when we read a book, we're not going to know whether they are right or wrong, whether they are true to the Word of God or not, if we don't know the Word of God. The Word of God is our plumb line. And the problem is we are, I mean, you can make a fortune writing books. But you're going to be accountable to God. And we buy the books instead of sitting down with the Word of God and crying out to God, God, open the eyes of my understanding. God, turn me from darkness to light. Show me your power in the Word of God. And he says, they are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the Word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? If we do not agree with the Word of God, we are stupid children, and we are unwise, and the words that are coming out of our mouth are not effective, because it's his word that is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. He says in verse 10, and this is what distresses me. I just heard about someone known on television, been on television for years, has five jets. What is a pastor doing owning five jets when there's only two in the family? He says, I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners, because from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they will be brought down, says the Lord. Remember, dear ones, as I remember, that someday you and I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says, I have as my ambition, whether in this body or out of this body, to be pleasing with the Lord. For we, speaking of Christians, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. We are to fear God. We are accountable to God. We're not to run away from him, but we are to honor him and respect him as God. But listen to me and examine what I'm saying by the word of God. The things that were written beforehand were written for our learning and for our admonition upon whom the end of the ages has come. The night is coming. And while it's day, you and I need to be about our Father's business. We need to eat, sleep, and drink the Word of God in order to perform the work of God.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is a special edition of Washington Watch. You've been listening to Kay Arthur, who was the leadoff teacher at this year's Watchman on the Wall Pastor's Briefing here in Washington, D.C. When we return, we'll hear from the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, who also spoke at the beginning of our briefing to the pastors who had gathered here in Washington, D.C. So don't go away. We're going to hear from Mark Meadows on the other side of the break.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism. Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch. I am Tony Perkins, your host. As I said before, the Congress is out this week for their Memorial Day break, and I want to take the opportunity to share with you some of the highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing. And we heard from the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, our good friend Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. He brought the pastors to their feet more than once.
Well, last night you had an opportunity to meet two members of Congress, Tim Walberg and Jody Heiss, and as I told you last night, there are many men and women of deep, abiding faith in our Lord and Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, who have been sent here to Washington, D.C., many of them as missionaries. I mean, this is a hostile, foreign place. There are a few headhunters around here. And one of those is a dear friend of mine who, for many years, was a supporter of the Family Research Council. And one thing you'll find out if you hang around with me, I don't believe in spectators. We are not called to be spectators. God did not call you to be a spectator. He called you to be a participant. And that's what we're about, is raising up men and women of God who are participants in His plan and the unfolding of His purposes. And Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina has been here in Washington for, I think, three terms, but has made a huge, if I can borrow a word from someone down the street, difference here in Washington, D.C. Mark and his wife, Debbie, were in business. They originally started a restaurant, sold the restaurant, began doing real estate development, very successful. God had blessed what they did, but his heart was gripped by the condition of America. And I remember after one of our events, he came and said, "Tony, I think the Lord's calling me to run for Congress." And I said, "Well, if you're certain about that, we will stand with you." And our action arm did, and he won his election. has been serving in a remarkable way here in Washington, D.C. In fact, you've probably seen him on the news, read about him, because he is the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which is leading a band of conservative warriors moving the needle and turning our nation back to its founding truths. So please help me welcome my good friend, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina.
Well, good morning. Now, you've had your Bible study this morning. Kay has done a great job, and I don't know if she's still here or not. She won't remember this, but we were in Boston. It was 2001, I think we were in Boston at this particular event, and they were in Boston, and she had the audacity to ask for sweet tea. Now, they don't know what sweet tea is in Boston. We know in the South what it is. And so as she was asking for that, I got to thinking, you know, how different we are as a country. You know, we've got pastors from and clergy and lay people from all over, you know, from California to Maine, from New York to Florida and in between. And we're indeed very different, but we're all called by the same Heavenly Father to not only preach the Word of God, but to allow it to just dig in and transform who we are. So I'm here to talk to you a little bit about Capitol Hill. I can tell you we will not change America by the policy that comes out just a few blocks from here. We will change it on our knees before our Heavenly Father as we repent and call upon Him to heal our land. But I also want to just share a little bit. Tony, thank you for the introduction. Tony is a dear friend. He is the only guy that can get me to come and brave the traffic across the Potomac in the morning and actually come to you. And this was one of those mornings, I don't know if you've ever had them, where you just want to stay in bed. You know, and it was a real late night last night. We've been working on a number of things that are key. I woke up early this morning to do my quiet time, and it was one of those that I just wanted to roll back over, and my wife told me to put on my big boy pants and get to work. And yet Tony is one who understands the battle here in Washington, D.C., because it is a spiritual battle in the heavenly realms. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you that what we have to do is not only engage in prayer, but to be fervent in our prayer. Now, things sometimes you think the way they are not really the way that they are. You know, the perspective that you have is sometimes one that you have to really look at it a little bit differently. It's kind of like the wife that called the husband on the interstate and says, "Honey, I just heard on the radio that there is one person going the wrong way on the interstate, so please be careful coming home." And the husband said, "One, there are hundreds." It's just the perspective that you have when it's there. And so I share that. It's also sometimes things are not always as they seem. I've shared this story before with Tony. And so to get a little bit colorful, a true story from the mountains of North Carolina, we're there and we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're 45 minutes from a Walmart, if that gives you an idea. We are in the middle of nowhere. So the Episcopal priest's wife is going down. She's giving a speech to a ladies' group. And, you know, many years ago, she was going down. It was a time where, you know, proper ladies wore pantyhose. And she was going down, and she realized that she did not have any pantyhose on at that particular time. So she pulls into the Walmart parking lot down the mountain. She hops out of her car, runs in, grabs the pantyhose, comes running back out, jumps in her car, gets ready to take off, and realizes that there's not a place to put them on between the Walmart parking lot and where she's going to give the speech. So she decides to put them on in the front seat of the car. Now, without getting too graphic, you can kind of imagine the gyrations that are going on. And all of a sudden, she got this feeling that there was somebody looking at her. sure enough, there was. She looked over her right-hand shoulder, and she looked, and she opened the door, and she says, "What do you want, you pervert?" He goes, "I don't know, ma'am, but you're sitting in my car." True story. True story. So sometimes things are not always as they seem. And just like you're here in Washington, D.C., things are not always as they seem. I can tell you every member of Congress will feel the pressure from each one of you as you make sure that your voice is heard. We've had more prayers in my office than probably most offices as we come in, because we do know that it is a spiritual battle. But the other part of this is this. Nehemiah was asked for permission to go and rebuild the wall. Now, everybody knew that the wall was in bad repair. In fact, it was in such bad repair that it offered no protection at all. And yet, he asked to go and be able to rebuild the wall. Now, I'm here this morning, and most of you know that the walls of protection around this great nation are crumbling, and indeed, they're in need of repair. So my question to you is, have you asked your Heavenly Father about repairing the wall? Because it is time that we start to ask our Heavenly Father to be bold, not only in the pulpits and in our communities and in the restaurants and wherever we are. It is time that we ask our Heavenly Father for that special calling and that special appointment to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation, so that once again we will be one nation under God. And so my question to you today is in your private prayer life, are you asking the Heavenly Father, the one who saves, who sent His Son to die for our sins, and truly who is the transforming Redeemer, have you asked Him, "Lord, help me rebuild the wall"? Because if you will do that, I am sure that He will be faithful, because even in the book of Nehemiah, we saw that what happened is that from that request, not only did the walls get rebuilt, but the task was overwhelming. And so what did they do? They decided that each family would rebuild the section of the wall that was right in front of them, because the task was so great. And you know, I can tell you that many times that I feel like the task is so great. And I look out and I said, you know, "Lord, how do we rebuild this country?" And yet, He has been faithful, because He's given me the blueprint in Nehemiah that says, you know, what you need to do is worry about the wall that is right there in front of you. And if you will rebuild that, and the other person that is called next to you will rebuild that, praise God, it will all be rebuilt in the end. It will all be rebuilt. Now, it's not enough just to rebuild. We have to be ready for the attack. Because what do we know about Nehemiah? That what he had was he had a weapon in one hand and he was rebuilding with the other. And what did they get? They were ridiculed. They were mocked. And then they were threatened. I can tell you, Tony knows, I've been ridiculed, mocked, and threatened. But you know what? I have the one who has all the answers on my side. It is not about me. It is about the Heavenly Father, who will defend me each and every day. And I say that because you too have the great defender on your side. Perhaps your congregations want you to keep quiet from the pulpit. Perhaps your congregation says, "Well, we don't want to get political." And you know what? If you decide to yield to that, I can tell you that you're not hearing from our Heavenly Father. Because if you censor your own speech, the enemy has already won, guys. It is time that we're bold. For such a time as this, we must be bold. We must be bold. So in the 1 minute and 2 seconds I have remaining, I want to encourage you with this. There are a number of men and women a few blocks from here that truly are godly, Christ-fearing, Christ-praising men and women in Congress. And yet they need the strength of a fervent prayer group to lift them up because the attacks are real. The reputations that they want to have many times get put in the mainstream media with headlines that, quite frankly, are tough. Tony Perkins knows he's been one of the most hated men in Washington, D.C., according to a few websites. I rival him occasionally on that task, depending on what I say on MSNBC. Yeah, I even go to the enemy camp on MSNBC, brothers and sisters. So here's what I would ask you to do. Ask the Lord for permission to rebuild the wall. And when he tells you what he wants you to do, know that there will be other brothers and sisters on this section of wall right next to you who have asked the same question, who will have a weapon in one hand and rebuilding with the other. And when we do that, we will be able to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for the wall that he has rebuilt. And indeed, we can heal our land. So, Tony, thank you for having me. Thank all of you for having me. I'm out of time. I'm seeing the red light. I could be like Herman Cain and say, turn that light off. I'm going to keep on going, but I won't do that today. I will tell you, can I tell one very quick story? Yeah, you're laughing. I'm like a preacher. I say one last story, right? All right, but so true story from the Oval Office real quickly. I went in very early on. My passion was Israel. I believe that we need to stand with Israel, the God who blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse Israel. And so here I was, a nobody from nowhere. I go into the most powerful office, indeed in the world, go into the Oval Office. I go in to see the president because I was actually trying to encourage him on a particular piece of policy. I go in, and actually he has a side office off the Oval Office where he's working. I look down, and there, as I look down, and we were talking about this particular policy, I look down, and there was this rectangle box there with a red button on it. And he saw that I kept looking down at this red button. He says, it makes you nervous, doesn't it? Well, I didn't comment. And then about that time, as I keep fixating on this red button, he hits the red button. My eyes get about this big. Oh, my word, what's happening? And out of this closet comes this Marine dressed in full uniform with a Diet Coke. Boom, it was right there. I went, wow, how neat is that? How neat is that? He says, you want to see it again? Boom. And there was one for me. So I share that to say this, that great story of a nobody from nowhere going in to see the most powerful politician and leader, world leader in the world, to advocate on behalf of something that was important to that individual because the Lord had told me to do it. And that was about moving the embassy of into Jerusalem, and a few days ago that happened. Praise God. Thank you. God bless you.
That was Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. He is the House Freedom Caucus Chairman, and you've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and that's all the time we have. I want to thank you for joining us, and if you want to hear more of the Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.